Billy, appreciate you so much. So good to have you here. Amen. On this Memorial Day, we thank God for you, and we love you in the Lord, and all that you've done for Calvary Baptist Church, being faithful to us. Thank you for sharing the Word of God with us. Love you. Amen.
You too, my brother. Appreciate Brother Donnie. I know you do. Brings a wealth of history and knowledge and information. The Word of God, it's amazing how full He is of the truths and the history of our land. And it's a blessing to be around people like that, amen, that can pour into you through the history and the things that have happened before. But good to be in His house. I pray you're celebrating what God has done. Our country is in turmoil. We're really at a place where, much like Israel, all throughout the land, they saw revival, then they saw reform, and then they saw the going away from God's Word, and it seemed to be a cycle. And I'm sure that's happened in our land before. I know some will look back to the 60s and think that there was some of that then, but we're seeing it on a greater measure every time, don't we? And so it's just amazing how sin never seems to descend. It always ascends, and the problem gets bigger. And so it happens in our personal life. The sin problem gets bigger if we don't deal with it, and it happens in a nation. Israel went through it many, many times, where God literally would turn them out to pasture and imprison them in a strange land and allow those to come in. We're going to talk about one of those eras there here in just a moment, where people would come in and take over the thing that God developed and designed and was built for His glory. Yet, but when the people disobeyed God, what happened? He'd turn them out to pasture, and they would find themselves in captivity. And so America's no different from that, I promise you. You say our borders are greater, our army's bigger, all of those things. That's true. But I tell you, it's not about that. It's about God and His blessings. Amen. Sometimes people think, well, my bank account's bigger. I've got security in the financial part of my life. Has nothing to do with it. Amen. And so all of that can be gone tomorrow. And so we don't put our trust in riches. Amen. We trust in the living God. Amen. And so here we find it. Jesus made this comment, without me, you can do nothing. Brother, that tells it all right there. We could close up the book and go home, because without Christ, there's not anything we can do. Amen. And so this is, Israel found this out the hard way. And so if you got your Bible, look with me. I'm not going to keep you very long, but I do want to highlight a few things, and we'll skim through for the sake of time some things that God would say to us in the book of Esther. If you got your Bible, turn back there to the book of Esther. I want you to see a few things maybe God would say through this little book. Amen. And so Esther, we find it before Isaiah, before the major prophets of Jeremiah and Isaiah. You'll see it after the Proverbs. And so we'll help you find it there, but always got your tab. I'm sorry, did I say after the Proverbs? That's not correct. But anyway, look with us into the first chapter of the book of Esther. We're going to skip through some things, not going to read a ton. I want to talk about some of the highlights in maybe just a generic form. But as you find your place there in chapter number 1, we're going to see some things that God might would have us see and find out. Because here, I'm going to recap a little bit for you while you're looking. We see this where God has sent the land into captivity. And God has sold them as servants. And so if you recall this, in 606 B.C., we find it that Nebuchadnezzar came in and took away the city of Jerusalem, and took away the land, and took away the citizens, and he took them into captivity, And God had forewarned them. If you remember this, in the tribes of Judah, there was 10 tribes versus 2 tribes. And so here we find that Benjamin and Judah made up Judah. And the other 10 tribes made up Israel. Well, Israel had already been, watch now, this is a learning curve. God, give us this truth. Israel was already dispersed. Those 10 tribes were scattered, and God said he would do that, didn't he? And so he reprimanded them and tried to bring them back. I believe God's doing that to our land. We're going to talk about some modern truths that we're going through today. When we have a president that don't know who God is, and they don't know what males are and females are, and so they've confused. This is what happened in the land of Israel. There was confusion. And there's confusion in the church today and in America today about what's right and what God's going to ordain and have a part in and what he's not. And so God warned them, and he warned them, and he warned them. And then finally, those 10 tribes who were practically made up of Satan worshipers, and there was very few God followers in that. Isn't that so? If you notice this, the God followers seem to be over in the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. And so out of them came godly kings. And normally, out of those in the 10 tribes, wicked kings. So we find it where God scattered them as he said he would. Now, we think America's too big for that. Some people say we're too big to fail. We're too big to fall. But that's not so. None of those things are so. As we see those millions of Jews that when God said enough is enough, he scattered them like the wind. And so they were gone. They were dispersed. Watch now. Never to be found since then. Watch. We're talking about here pre-Christ. We're talking about many hundred years. Somewhere around 700 B.C., he scattered those 10 tribes. And they've never been found or reorganized since. Doesn't that amaze you? Not bless you, but amaze you. That God could do that to his own people. You know, we say America's a Christian nation, and it's so true. The founders and the fathers and the mothers that invested in the truths that our country stands for is an amazing thing. And we've got brought up preachers like those of the Northeast that came in spreading God's word, Finney and Rogers and all of these men that came, and God used them and brought revival to America. And so remember, they just come out of the bondage of the king. They got on boats. Brother's talking about the raft. They got on boats and they set sail, not even knowing if they'd make it or not, but just by the faith and the hope that maybe there's something better. You know what lost people are looking for? They're looking for hope. And people that are their lives are riddled by drugs and alcohol, you know what they really want? They want hope, but they don't know where to find it. These people didn't know where to find it either, but bless God, some of our forefathers and mothers, I tracked it back on my dad's side, that the people came in from Delaware. And so here, I wonder where all of these folks on my dad's side, why did they come into Delaware? And so I later found out that here, they lived in Delaware, England. Well, evidently, the shipping company that's bringing them, when they brought them in, they named a state after that. And so here, they were in Delaware, England. They come across the pond to Delaware. What a coincidence. And so you see some of those things and tie some of those things. Well, God has brought Israel out of bondage, Egyptian bondage, and those people were glad to be out. But it wasn't long. Here we see it where God scattered them. And so just a few hundred years later, they're a nation no more. But we're talking about the two tribes now, not those 10 tribes that scattered. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the two tribes, because the two tribes made up of Judah and Benjamin, they typically had godly kings, and they typically obeyed God, amen? But there come a time when pride arose. arose, and when pride arose in their hearts. And that's where we are today, church. We're living in a prideful country that feels like they cannot fall. They think that financials will keep us out of a fall. They think that politics will keep us out of a fall. And here we've opened our borders and invited the enemy in. And we've done all the things that Israel done. We're talking about, we see the pattern. But our leaders need to understand that we certainly aren't more righteous than they were. And we certainly aren't more called than they are. Although I believe America has been called of God. I do believe that. Revival supports that. But here we see it, where these two tribes have come up, and God has forewarned them. And so we see it that in 606 BC, Nebuchadnezzar came in and he carried the whole city away. He carried all the gold. He carried all the timbers. He carried all the people. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I encourage you to go back into Kings and read of how glorious that tabernacle was. I mean, it was glorious. And so all this gold, everything's overloaded with gold. Well, you know what happened? We see it here that those Babylonians are carrying it away, and they're carrying it off piece by piece, and they're literally destroying and taking away everything that God set up. And that's what the enemy wants today, isn't it? They want to destroy everything that God set up. And so here in this captivity time leads us up to what we're going to read about a little bit, because we know, as God prophesied, they were in captivity for 70 years, exactly like he said they would. And so he didn't miss it. And so we find it that somewhere in 536 BC, they came out of captivity when God moved on the heart of a godly king by the name of Cyrus. And Cyrus had an ear to hear God's word, and he restored the people. And this is where Nehemiah comes in, and he's been commissioned to rebuild. And so there's Ezra there, and God stirred his heart. Brother, we talk about Nebuchadnezzar. We talk about Ezra and what they went through. We find that oftentimes they got a weapon in one hand and a tool in the other. I mean, listen, they're fighting the devil tooth and nail to get the walls rebuilt and to get the temple rebuilt. And so here they're willing to do what God's inspired them to do. And the king that's supporting this, we're talking about Cyrus again, and the other ones that came along afterward and supported God's work. You know why they done that? Because God put it in their heart. Don't tell me God can't change hearts. He changed yours. He changed mine. He'll change the next one. He can change the king. We find it in Proverbs 21:1, where the word of God said, I love this verse. I love this. Because he said that we ought to grab this. You say, preacher, God can't change my folks. The king's heart is what it said right here. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he wills. Now, I like to get on the maps and the overviews and see how things happen. Local rivers or big rivers or lands. I don't know. I get that. I don't know why I'm geeky about that stuff, but I like to see those kind of things. And sometimes your local river, you know, it'll make it hard being that way and hard being that way. And that's what God's saying. He's saying that the king's heart, think about this. I promise you today, Biden may be asleep right now, but the king's heart's in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he wills. God does. Isn't that a blessing? So if we'll appeal to the Lord and pray, maybe God will hear our cry. That's what happened. Those in that 70-year captivity, you don't think they cried out to God? Yes, they did. And God heard them, and God restored them. America needs a restoration. We need a restoration. We don't know the difference in male and female anymore. We don't know where part of the store we're supposed to go get our clothes. We don't know what to do about all of these things in sports. And because we've got a defiled society that does not mind tampering with how God set up the individual in genealogy. That's right. And so we've got problems. We got enough to pray about, more than you can shake a stick at. We've got things to pray about today. And here, God, this is where we're talking about in the days of King Ahasuerus. I want to read a little bit and skip around and see this. Now, verse 1, it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is the Ahasuerus which reigned from India unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces. Now, you know what he's talking about? That king is reigning over everything known to man. 127 provinces from Ethiopia, which was as far west as they knew anything about modern day Africa, over to Babylon. So everything was under this man's control. You'll see that phrase used a lot, of the 127 provinces. And so here, if you look, scan down a little bit, you'll see it that he has been moved upon, and they've given him drink in verse number 7, and he's drinking in the vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and from royal wine in abundance. So these were the things that came out of God's house. These were God's vessels. And so here, drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also, Vashti the queen made a feast for the women of the royal house which belonged to King Ahasuerus. And on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry, watch now, the king has got in the sauce. He's got in the sauce, and he's not in his clear thinking right here. And Vashti has made a feast, and so the word said that the heart of the king was merry with wine, and he commanded Mahumian and Bishtai, Harbadai, Bigthai, we don't need all those names, but go down a little bit and you'll see it, that they served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king to bring Vashti the queen, and he wanted to show her beauty, for she was fair to look upon. Look into verse 12. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment. Now this seems like a simple thing, and what's this got to do with God and all of these worldly kings and monarchs over here? What's that got to do with anything with God? Well, you see, God is working on the behalf of his youngest. And God is about to do some things through this lady that we're talking about right here, who's being replaced. Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. And the king was very wroth. And then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, and we're not going to get into all the sorcery and things of that matter. But what I want you to see in chapter 1 is that God has put it on the heart of a queen to rebel. Now what that's going to do, people say, what's that got to do with it? Sometimes we hear things on the news and we wonder, what's that got to do and what could God do with that? But what we see is God rules in the affairs of men, does he not? And God put it on the heart of a queen to rebel, and what that done was open the door for God to bring one of his women in. I'm talking about the godly, blessed Esther. We see this here, how God is going to remove the wicked and he's going to raise up the righteous, and he's going to do it through Haman, her cousin, and he's going to do it through Esther, his servant, and God's going to restore things. And what it says and what it brings to us is hope. And so without getting neck deep in the weeds right here, I want you to see this. As she rebelled, and it created a rebellion, verse 18, you'll find that. And we see it here where there's been a decree made that in every house that God would rule, and the women would get in their place. That's what he's talking about. Why? Because in his mind, Esther's rebelled and embarrassed him. And so all God's doing right here is opening the door. But I want you to look over and see this in verse 22, talking about the decree. Find it here. For he sent letters into all the king's provinces and into according to the writing thereof, and to every people, and in their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house according to the language of every people. That was important to them. And Vashti has went against it, and God's about to do something glorious here. Watch this. Go down a little bit. I want you to see it. In chapter 2, verse number 16. 2:16, and find this. So Esther was taken unto the king Ahasuerus into his house, royal, in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year. And the king loved Esther. Very important that you see this. God's removed the wicked. God's instilled here the opportunity for the righteous. And so in a wicked land of God haters, not God worshipers, God haters, God has planted Esther here to do the work. Go down a little bit. I want you to see this in verse number 17. So she was taken, and 17 said the king loved Esther, and she obtained favor in his sight more than all virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her instead of, listen, God took Joseph, didn't he? Yeah, he brought him out. He used him, planted him inside of a wicked regime, an ungodly government. And God took Joseph and he gave it to him. Here, God's taking Vashti. We're not going to get into all the details, but I want you to see the main point right here. He has brought her. He's replaced the wicked with the righteous. Now, we talk about today, what can God do? People say, well, our governments are crooked and our elections are stolen, and all of those things may be true. But I tell you, it does not stop the plan of God, church. It doesn't stop the plan of God. So she's got all of her virgins around her, and Esther has about to do something here as her cousin, who knows that Israel is facing a fateful time, and here he's wondering if she's going to do the right thing. It's in her hands. God's put her in a place. Joseph talked about it. Joseph talked about what a place God put him in. Remember how God planted him, and before it's all over, he is ruling. He is everything that happens in the land of Egypt is coming through and going by Joseph. Everything is. God says, I set down one and I raise up another. And as he raised Esther up into such a time, and here we find it, that this is where we get the famous phrase, that God put her where she was in such a time as this. And Mordecai reminded her that. You know, Mordecai wanted to make sure you understand. It's all on you. It's all on your hands. And to do the right thing, church, is on our hands. When we vote, when we speak, when we impart wisdom in our children and grandchildren, it's in our hands. People say, well, I want them to think for themselves. Do you? It's a dangerous place to be. Yeah, they can make decisions. Of course they can as they mature and get older. But we have to impart. Yeah. We have to impart the wisdom of God in our children. I think one of the biggest sins of America is when the church went to church and left the children at home. Uh-huh. I think that's a problem, don't you? And so here, the children need to be under God's word. They need to be understanding what God's doing. And so God's providence is all over the place. And so see this quickly over to chapter 4, verse number 13. So when it happened, and Mordecai's, as they told to Mordecai Esther's words, then Mordecai commanded Esther, think not that thyself shall escape from the king's house more than all the Jews. You know what he understood? They were facing another eradication. And he said, don't think because you've been taken as the wife of the king that you'll escape. And he's warned her. And he's more like an uncle to her, but he's actually a cousin. And so here he's imparting wisdom. He's injecting into her what she needs to hear. And watch what she said. I want to close out with this phrase in these couple of verses right here. And here she said, he said, think not, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace. This is where we are, church. You can't hold your peace. You can't sit back and let the other folks run it. This is what happens in the cancel culture. They want people to feel afraid to say something. They want all the hot mics for the liberals and the garbage and the filth and the dirt. That's what they want hot mics for, not for God's people, not for God's preachers, not for God's servants, not for mothers that love their children. Thank God for every one of them that showed up at a school board meeting and went in there and showed themselves, if that's what it took to get the job done. God bless them. Thank God we need fiery mamas in there telling them what we will and will not allow with our children. And so for all of these, and this is what Mordecai's saying, he knows it's crunch time and he wants her to understand, do not think that you'll be delivered and you will escape in all the king's house more than all the Jews. And so, for if thou altogether, here it is, holdest thy peace at this time, then shall arise to the Jews from another place. Deliverance shall arise from another place. You know what he's saying? He's saying, if God can't use you, Esther, he's going to find somebody he can, and somebody that'll speak up and say it. That's what he's saying. And God has moved on her heart, and she is in a place, and this is why she's speaking like this. She's called for a fast, and you know what she said? She said, bless God, I want you to fast, and I want you to pray, and I'm going in, and if I perish, I perish. All of the brave men and women that serve this country understood going in. Many drafted, many not willingly, but they still went. And they did their part. And they understood, if I perish, I perish. God give us a heart like that. The believers of the early church, and I'm going to close up right here with a couple comments. The believers of the early church understood, if I take the name of Christ, I can be killed. Paul killed some of those, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he said, I was a murderer. And he said, I was all these things, but God. God saved Paul. I honestly believe God's going to save Paul or kill Paul. Paul's making havoc of God's church. He's only going to put up for that so long. There was people praying for people like Paul. And God heard them. See, we need to take these examples. Mordecai's praying for Esther. Esther's praying for Esther. And here we find it, the early church, when they brought Paul back to the revival center, they're like, are you sure? We know him. Yeah, he knocked my cousin off last week. I know him. Yeah, he's over there threatening my mom-in-law. I heard what he said, and all those old mean words, that little posse he had with him, because he had his little group. You say, we don't know that he had a group. We know he had a group, because when God struck him down, it was going to save him or kill him. When God done that, there was people standing around and watching him, going to see if he's going to ever get back up. Don't tell me God can't. He can't. And so it don't matter if they're in the White House or the outhouse. God knows their address and he knows their phone number. And it's high time his church pray for his people and for his land and for his word and for his will. Amen. That's what time it is. It's time to pray. And Esther said, and Mordecai said, who knows if I've not been called for such a time as this. And as we stand, I want to ask you something. Stand with me. Stand with us just a moment. What would it be that God would inspire you to do? To take a stand. We celebrate those that are at Arlington. I've got the pleasure of being there one time at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers, very, very sacred event. I love the graveyards and those that served, and you see them, and that's an honor just to get to view some of those graves. Brave men and women, willing to die if that's what it took. And here we see it in God's Word, women and men willing to do whatever it takes. She knew if that king did not hold out that scepter, somebody in 3 seconds would haul her out of there and you'd never see her again. No words necessary. You do your reading all through the kings of Solomon and David. Well, I want to tell you, you want to talk about some powerful mob-like activity. No words necessary. You're gone. You're out. You're done.
Yes.
Esther knew that. She knew that, and she was willing. And you know what she said? This is a nice little closing thought. She said, I want y'all to pray. I want y'all to pray. And she said, if I perish, I perish. But God sustained her, didn't he?
Yes.
Let's pray together. Father, I ask you, Lord, to move and minister. Work in our lives, work in our heart. God, give us stamina, give us unction, give us intestinal fortitude to breathe your word and speak it and impart it and never to be ashamed of it. God, let us be willing to spend life or limb, whatever it takes, to represent God very well. And Lord, let us pray, especially pray for the leadership of our country. And God, without you, we can do nothing, Lord. We need mighty revival in the land. We need morality in the land. We need you to come by and breathe a real revival into our hearts. Do it, God, we pray. We'll thank you and praise you for it all. And the church said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.